In Chicago, you know that all sports rock. The Bears, Hawks, Bulls, Cubs, and Sox. Pick your favorite, you can choose. As long as the Packers lose. For everything you need to know, it's Bill Swarski Sports Talk Chicago. Bill Swarski Sports Talk Chicago.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to another edition of Bill Swirsky Sports Talk Chicago. This is your host Sean. Alex was so disgusted by the Bears game today, he just had to tap out. No Alex today. I'm just kidding. There is no Alex today, but he just had some other plans and we couldn't align our timing, so you are stuck with just me this week. But Alex will be back next week. But it's more fun to think about him, Bills fan, puking while thinking about this Bears game. So this is going to be a pretty short episode. We're just going to talk Bears here. I just really don't have it in me to deal with all the other nonsense that's Chicago sports now. I think we all saw the Bears game today or yesterday, depending on when you listen to this podcast. But it was just an absolute shit show. And right from the jump, the Lions had a lot to prove. Coming off of a pretty ugly loss, and they just beat the shit out of the Bears. And for as bad as the beatdown was in that first half, there's one play. Tyreek Stevenson had a ball, hit him right through his hands, hit him right in the face mask chest area. Had he caught that, he's still running. And that means the Bears are up at halftime. It's a 14-point swing. That's huge. And that's the difference between a good team and a shit team, is you make those plays. I mean, we've seen Tyreek Stevenson do good things, but Tyreek Stevenson needs to be kept in a very narrow space of you know, the leash that you give him. He's got to be held to a tight leash. He does that. He stays within his lane. He can play well. But when he's out there showboating having penalties, and it's just a, you know, playing the wrong defense, getting beat by double moves, soft coverage, he's just a mess. He needs rigid structure to keep him in his place. And I just think that's something a new head coach is going to have to really consider when he picks a defensive coordinator. But more about this game is, you know, this could have been a completely different game, even with how bad the Bears played in that first half, making one more play. But when you look at it, this offensive line played bad again. And it was made worse by Braxton Jones going down with an ugly injury. And the way it looks, and I have not heard any news, there hasn't been a public statement yet, but it looks like that tibia-fibia fracture that that we've seen a couple other people have had. So we're probably looking at him being back maybe by the start of training camp. But that looked like a bad injury, and they carted him off, and that's never a good sign. I know offensive linemen are more likely to carted off just because of the size of the guy and the mass of him, but it didn't look very good. They put it in an air cast and carted him off. So that was bad. And if you noticed, Karan Amagaji, who got the start last week, was inactive today. He got demoted and put in the doghouse because of how bad he played. And this is frustrating. Listen, did he play bad? Oh, yeah, absolutely. He played terribly. But you had a young player that's coming out from a small football school. It's a big name school, but it's in the Ivy League. they don't give academic scholarships. So, sorry, athletic scholarships, excuse me. They don't give athletic scholarships. So it's people that got into the school. So it's, you know, people for years complained about Notre Dame. Well, how are they supposed to compete with these other schools when you've got to get into the rigid Notre Dame standards? It's the same thing, except it's not a big-time football program. So they're not giving athletic scholarships. So it's a, you know, you're playing at a small school. You're making this big jump into the NFL. You didn't have training camp because you were you had an injury. And then you're put into the starting role against a tough team, and you just looked like crap. That's on coaching. That's on the front office. Is you've, for better or worse, you've got Larry Borum. He's you know, you've got other options that aren't great, but they're at least played in the NFL before. They've started games before. You've got to give these guys a shot. And Karan Amagaji should not have been put in a position like that. But anyways, they've made it worse because you put him in the doghouse and he gets demoted. And so that really messes with a young kid's psyche. Am I writing him off as he's absolute garbage and never going to be able to play? No, but you've also got to nurture him. You spent a third round pick on the kid. You've got to develop him. You've got to, you know, you can't just waste these third round picks. That's not how you win football games. Your third round pick has to be an impactful player at some point in this contract. And you've already burned through a few number or third round picks. You can't burn through another one, especially at offensive line. And I think I read this is like the 21st offensive line combination today. And how are you supposed to develop any sort of, you know, cohesion or, you know, anything like that if you're not playing together? You know, the plan was to start this season with Ryan Bates as the center, Nate Davis at right guard. So you already, Ryan Bates is not a center. He is a guard that can play center. So you're already going to put one guy out of position. Then you move Tevin Jenkins from the right guard to the left guard. And some people are like, well, you know, it's guard is a guard. And, you know, playing the position is you know, similar. It's a lot like going from right-handed, you're right-handed and you go to left-handed. Well, writing is writing, you're using your hand, but it's different. So that's why you'll see guys, you know, sure, there's guys out there that can play both, and if you work at it, you can definitely do both. Like, you can write with your left hand if you really wanted to, if you practice at it. It just takes practice, and there's sides that you prefer and you're used to. And usually, they'll put you on a side that, you know, best suits your abilities and your skill set. And Tevin Jenkins is a right guard, and you put him at left guard for Nate Davis, who is also a right guard. And Tevin just hasn't been nearly as good this year, and he's had more injuries, and he got another one today. Nate Davis just was an absolute colossal F up, and he's gone. He's not on the team anymore. And Braxton Jones has had injuries, and even when he's not been injured, you know, the strength, the lower body strength to stop a bull rush hasn't improved to where we thought it would. So, you know, this offensive line has been bad. And, you know, I know everyone wants to beat up Caleb Williams. He holds the ball too long. You know, the stats on how he holds the ball includes all those scrambles where he's avoiding sacks and running for his life and trying to make things happen. Like, that adds to the time he holds the ball. Like, he's not holding the ball that long. The pressure is just coming, and it's coming fast and furious, and it's coming right up the middle. Because your center stinks, your guard position is not very good, and you know, you've had varying degrees of bad left tackle play. So there's a huge need here, and Ryan Poles has done a shit job of building an offensive line. You know, and I want to talk more about Ryan Poles, but you know, this team, looking at the game today, you got dominated on both sides of the trenches. The Lions just demolished you on both sides of the trenches. On their defensive line, who's banged up, was able to get lots and lots of pressure. And they didn't necessarily get home on sacks that much, but the pressure was there. Caleb was able to avoid a lot of the sacks, but that pressure was there. And on the other side of the ball, Jared Goff had a really clean pocket most of the day. I mean, it was unreal how much time he had to throw. It was ridiculous. So right off the bat, when you can't win at the line of scrimmage, it's going to be a long day. And the Bears have not been able to win on the line of scrimmage very much at all in the last several seasons. Defensively, just period, it was a shit show. They couldn't stop the run. Jahmyr Gibbs was, you know, not only they were most of the times not being touched for a couple of yards down the field before he was even touched, let alone, you know, how many yards he got after the contact, but he had so many change of directions that left the Bears defensive players just looking like the Three Stooges out there. Look like a Benny Hill skit. And it's just frustrating. And defensive backs were so bogus today. This is a good defensive backfield, and you're not seeing it. You're just not seeing it. It is this is frustrating. This defensive scheme, and it's crazy because as bad as Matt Eberflus was as a head coach, he was somehow holding the defense together with duct tape and shoestring and bubble gum. And there's playmakers on this defense. It's just, I don't know. They lack discipline. How many times have we seen them jump off sides? They're not aggressive enough. They don't get pressure. How many times have they given up third and longs? Like it's unreal how many third and longs they allow to be converted. And we saw that again today. It was like a third and 17, and the Lions converted. So this defense is full of high priced players, and just they can't play well. Just don't play well. Offensively, there was some good things from the wide receivers, especially Keenan Allen. Looked like a rejuvenated version of himself. He's trying to get that bag, and he's starting to turn it on. DJ Moore looks like he's just ready for the season to be over. And on one hand, it's hard to blame him. On the other hand, like he's supposed to be a professional. He's supposed to be a leader on this team, veteran. And sometimes you just got to show up and put your big boy pants on and go, I'm making millions of dollars to play this game. I'm just going to shut up and play this game, and do what I'm supposed to do. And he's not. He's just not putting in that effort. And Roma Dunze had a rough day today. There were some good things he did. It was that high point 50-50 ball that he came down with, which is what he does. But he had two fumbles today. One on a handoff, which, why the hell are you handing off to Roma Dunze? I just don't understand. And the other one was on a run where he made a nice play, and true story, hand to God, I'm standing in my living room pacing, and while that play's happening, as he's running, I'm just like, please don't fumble, please don't fumble, please don't fumble, and boom, fumbles. And I tried to watch the replay. I was like, please let this be overturned and say that he was down, his knee was down. And no, he fumbled. And that was frustrating. So you're seeing on both sides of the ball just complete lack of discipline, sloppy football. There's no precision in anything. You know, you're looking across the field from a Lions team, and they're successfully running fake trip and falls to score points, and you can't even not jump off sides or you know, negate good plays with penalties. It is this team lacks discipline. And you know, the one real bright spot today was Caleb Williams. And I know they struggled those first couple drives, but he looked the part. The kid's got a really bright future. And we're going to beat this to death, this poor dead horse. But if you don't hire Ben Johnson, you are messing up. And I know, and it's hilarious. So you look back now at the offensive coordinator candidates that the Bears were talking about bringing in. Every single one of them has been successful, except the one they hired. I mean, Liam Cohen is having a great season, and there's talks of him being potentially a head coaching candidate. The guy from Washington that used to coach Arizona, he's doing well. Like, you've just, all their candidates are doing well, except for Shane Waldron, who was abysmal. And, you know, that leads me to, I want to get back to the game, but I want to do a tangent here. Is where we are is we have no permanent head coach. This offseason will be the Bears hiring a new head coach for the team. The question is, should they also be looking for a new general manager? I'm going to say this. Kevin Warren did not hire Ryan Poles. Ryan Poles, the biggest thing he can hang his hat on is he lucked out in getting the number one overall pick, was able to trade that for a huge haul with Carolina. But let's take a look at that. I mean, he got a huge haul, but has it helped so far? Have we seen the fruits of it? Is right now, Carolina has the same exact record as the Bears after giving up all those assets. So the Bears got those assets and they're not converting on it. You have a shit offensive line. You've got, you know, a lot of injuries. If you're Ryan Poles, you also hired the only head coach that has ever been fired mid-season in Chicago Bears history. You hired him. Also, you were part of firing a defensive coordinator and an offensive coordinator after two seasons. And then you were a huge part in hiring a new offensive coordinator who didn't even make it one season. You helped handpick this offensive coordinator. You touted what he could do. And not only was your first offensive coordinator you helped hire fired, he went on to get a new job, and he was promptly fired in his first season in that job too. So you hired just a double failure, and you fired two offensive coordinators and a defensive coordinator and a head coach, all picked by you. So you went and traded a good draft pick and paid a lot of money salary-wise for your guy to play center, Ryan Bates, and the guy's played like 100 snaps this year. Like, he just hasn't played any football. He's been injured this whole season. And so you wasted a draft pick and you wasted salary cap money on this guy. You traded Pittsburgh for an awful wide receiver, and it ended up being the 32nd pick in the draft for that guy. And Claypool, that was a terrible trade. The Velus Jones drafting, the Tyler Scott draft pick, both abysmal. Karan Amagaji's not looking very good. Your stud, you know, number top 10 pick right tackle has had his ups and downs still. After two seasons, ups and downs. You signed a big money free agent right guard. He was abysmal. You brought in competition for the starting job of center, and the one got hurt, and the other one has been just abysmal too. You know, there's so many L's here that, sure, if you just want to focus on the Caleb Williams trade with Panthers, yeah, that's really good. But and I will give you that he was able to get this salary cap under control. But at what point? You're not winning games. The Bears in their history have had 4 8-plus game losing streaks in the history of one of the first franchise, a founding franchise. And two of them have been under Ryan Poles. So why does he deserve to pick a new head coach? And I know most GMs get a chance to pick a second head coach. But in this case, like, this is a really critical time for the Chicago Bears. You got what looks to be a stud quarterback. You've got him on the rookie contract. And this rookie season, he's played well, but he has just gotten just manhandled and abused and frustrated. And he's on his, you know, third offensive coordinator, technically, this NFL season, because Waldron got fired and Thomas Brown got promoted. And then from Thomas Brown, they promoted somebody else up when he got promoted to interim head coach. So you're technically on your third offensive coordinator. This is just a lot to take in for a young quarterback. And if you just keep having this dysfunction, like, what's going to make him stay? What's going to make him want to sign another contract? The goal here is you draft a guy, you develop a guy, he becomes a stud, and you keep him here for his whole career, and he's proud to have been here, and he retires, and he goes to the Hall of Fame. That's the goal, and you're going to screw this up. So, you know, there's all these talks of, you got dipshit Dan Pompey, who's like, well, you know, the Bears need discipline. They should be hiring Ron Rivera. No, they shouldn't. They should not be hiring Ron Rivera. Ron Rivera, the NFL has passed Ron Rivera by. I don't mean to be mean to Ron Rivera, but it has. It's, you know, people are saying Mike Vrabel. I'm like, okay, I can see Mike Vrabel. Mike Vrabel's not an old guy, and he's going to have a second shot. But, you know, what has he done that's been so great that's made him, you know, this guy that you can't lose out with? You know, you're going to have potentially the same problem that you had with Matt Eberflus, is with a defensive coach, and especially with a young quarterback, you're relying on an offensive coordinator to be the guy. And what happens is, once that guy, if he's successful, he might be one and done, and they hire him away as a head coach. It's not very often where you have a Ben Johnson type guy who's willing to keep coming back. Most of them are going to leave, and you're having to restart over again. Ryan Poles made a huge mistake when he didn't fire Matt Eberflus and hire somebody else and marry Mary Kay Williams with a head coach and start that clock together. Every single human being that watches the football, every single Bears fan, all said the same thing. You've got to hire a coach and marry him with your young quarterback. You just have to. And Ryan Poles didn't. And I don't know if Georgie Porgy stuck his nose in and said no. But if Ryan Poles is supposed to be the football guy and he's not allowed to make football decisions, then he's a weak GM. Stand up to your ownership. Stand up. Make him fire you. You know, sure he's your boss. He can do that. But you've got a contract too. You have an obligation, regardless of who's trying to impede you, of making the Chicago Bears win, whether that's the Packers coming into town or if it's Georgie Porgy making dumb decisions and not letting you do what you need to do, is you have a job to do and you got to do it. And, you know, it's easy for me to sit here and say, oh, stand up to your boss, risk getting fired. But I'm not making the money that Ryan Poles is making. Ryan Poles is making a lot of money. He got his contract. So if he gets fired, he's still making a lot of money and he'll get another job. But he looks weak, regardless of, you know, he's got constraints from ownership. He looks weak. You've got to stand up. You've got to fight that fight. Even if you end up losing, you've got to fight that fight. And I don't think he is. I think he's a weak general manager. And now that you've got Kevin Warren here, is for good or bad, Kevin Warren has a loud voice in that building and a lot of sway. And if I'm Kevin Warren, why am I going to want to be saddled with a guy that's been losing and we're going to have to hire a new head coach? Why? The reality is, if you're going to attract a good head coach, that head coach is going to want assurances that the general manager is going to be there. And we talked about it, Alex and I talked about it last week, is does that mean, oh yeah, you've got to have the contracts aligned? No, I don't think so. You know, it's like, oh wait, this guy's got 2 years left on his deal and we're signing this guy to a 4-year deal. I don't think that matters. It's the job security issue. And Ryan Poles, from my understanding, is doesn't have that much time left on his deal. But essentially, what you're going to have to do, though, is you're going to have to extend him. So it's not about, oh, has Ryan Poles done enough to get another year? If you weren't firing your head coach, all right, then maybe you can sell that. Say, all right, well, you can give him another year and see how that goes. But first, number one, how often in NFL has it been you delay a decision and give it another year and it pays off? It just doesn't. It's not really how things work. I'm sure there's instances where it has happened, but most of the time it's just you lost another year. Is you've got to make that decision. When you make a bad one, don't compound it. But so, you know, I could at least see an argument if you weren't going to fire your head coach of keeping Ryan Poles there. But you already fired your head coach. So you're bringing in a new head coach. So not only are you saying, yeah, Ryan Poles is going to be back next year, you're probably going to have to give him like a 3-year extension. So you're looking at 3 more years of this guy. Do you feel confident enough in what he's done to build this team that you're willing to give him 3 more years? He said he wanted to give the softest landing possible to a rookie quarterback. He could have spent money. This team has a lot of money, free agency and like salary cap space to spend. They could have brought in a better offensive line. That would have helped. They could have used some of that draft capital on offensive linemen. They didn't. That would have helped. You could have given him Caleb Williams an offensive head coach. You chose not to. So yeah, you wanted to do all these things. You said these things and you didn't execute on them. And that's the problem. You didn't execute. I don't think Ryan Poles is a bad guy. I'm sure he's a very nice man, but I want to see victories. I want to see Chicago not be a laughing stock. The Bears are a laughing stock. Everybody just laughs at them. I think people laugh harder at us than they do the Jets. And the Jets just had a story this week that their owner nixed a trade because he was basing it on Madden ratings. Like, you can't make this shit up. And the Bears are laughed at more than that team. That team fired their coach because Aaron Rodgers wanted them to fire him. And then they kept Aaron Rodgers' buddy. And they've been a dog shit team. But yet, the Bears are the bigger laughing stock. So, like, it's mind-boggling. So, you're going to give the GM that built this team another 3 years? Is that what you want to do? To me, that doesn't make any sense. There's other options. You look at it, I believe his title is the assistant GM. Ray Agnew is the assistant GM of the Detroit Lions. Now, Detroit's general manager has built a successful program. They have done a really good job of building that team and making smart moves and drafting well. Now, I'm sure he has a good relationship with Ben Johnson. Why couldn't you bring that in as a package deal? You bring Ray Agnew in as your GM, Ben Johnson is your head coach. And I'm still going to, I've been saying this for how long now, but I'm going to stick with it. I've seen a couple other people post it as well, but I'm going to stand on this, die on this hill that I was one of the first ones to say it. The first one I heard say it is Robert Saleh as defensive coordinator. I think he's a really good defensive coordinator, and I don't think he got a fair shake as a head coach. He's a guy that's going to be, you know, if you put this tandem together, this group of Agnew and Ben Johnson and Robert Saleh, people are going to look at that like they look at the Minnesota Vikings, you know, great young head coach and a former head coach that is looking to rehabilitate his image and get another shot as defensive coordinator. And, you know, that defense is going to be, they're going to be motivated. Then they're going to have a fire brand as their defensive coordinator. And again, I like marrying a young offensive mind with a more established defensive mind. And I, you know, people are all, well, the Bears already did that. They did it with Matt Nagy and Vic Fangio. And yeah, they were a double doink away from, you know, going deep into the playoffs. Like, you know, Matt Nagy ended up being a mess up once Vic Fangio left, but that was the right idea. It was just they picked the wrong guy. It was the right defensive coordinator, it was the wrong head coach, and they got duped by the Andy Reid effect. You know, this is a different scenario, and I don't want to get left behind again. Is you look like, oh, you can't hire a coordinator because, you know, that's bad. Like, you know what? O'Connell in Minnesota was a coordinator. Matt LaFleur in Green Bay was a coordinator. There's a lot of coordinators that get hired and are very successful. You just have to pick the right one. And you have to give them the opportunity to succeed. You can't handcuff them. So you can't have somebody come in here and then force them to keep the offensive line coach because you got him under contract, or force, you know, force him into a defensive coordinator, or, you know, not give him the players that he needs, or, you know, whatever it is. You got to give the opportunity to the person to be successful. And, you know, the biggest difficulty to being successful long term is George McCaskey. It starts there, and he makes buffoon decisions because he's not a smart football man. He's just an absolute ham-hocked buffoon when it comes to football decisions, and you can't make him sell the team. So what you have to do is you have to overcome that as a hurdle. You know, you go into that position going, yeah, I know that he's a ding-dong George, and that's what you're going to get. Ding-dong George is you've got to overcome that. So Ryan Poles has to be able to fight that battle and stick that out and partner with Kevin Warren. Or, you know, if you're able to fire him and bring in somebody that they're going to have to come in, and maybe Agnew with Ben Johnson, they come in as a package and say, hey, listen, George, you need to go sit with your purple crayons in the corner and your Denny's menu for kids, the paper mat with the puzzles and the drawings, and with your purple crayon, and just let football decisions happen over here. Kevin Warren, you go try to build us a new stadium. Like, that's what needs to happen. And I don't think Ryan Poles is going to do that. But, in my mind, there's one option here, and it's Ben Johnson. You know, if Mike Vrabel comes in and he's the guy, and, you know, we've talked about it last week, the offensive coordinator options that he's been linked to make me want a Bills fan puke. I don't like them. He'd have to come in with a better offensive coordinator for me to be happy about him. But I do like the discipline he would come in with. But that's kind of why I want Robert Saleh, is Ben Johnson with Robert Saleh. Robert Saleh is going to come in there, and he's going to have those defensive players running through walls. And he's got head coaching experience, and it wasn't a good one, but at least he had that experience in a big market. You know, he was in San Francisco, which is a big market. He went to New York, which is a big market. If he comes to Chicago, the stage won't be too big for him, and it'll be a position he's done before, and he'll be able to help out with Ben Johnson. So Ben Johnson's not on an island of a first-time head coach with no experience behind him. Is you've got a defensive coordinator that's done it, you know, albeit for not very long, but at least he's done it, and you've got somebody to, you know, you trust. It's that you don't have to hold their hand as a defensive coordinator stepping into a new role. Is you bring this guy in, he's gonna, those dumb penalties, those, you know, the lack of effort, the poor tackling, the bad angles, that is all stopping. Robert Saleh is going to have an aggressive defense, and you're going to see them play. And I think you'll see the best out of Jalon Johnson, and you'll see the best out of Tyreek Stevenson. So I think that's just a really good option. And with Ben Johnson, is you are going to see absolute growth from Caleb Williams. He's going to correct that footwork. He's going to have precision and timing on those routes. You're going to have, you know, is not a knock on Jared Goff, but there's things Caleb Williams can do that Jared Goff can't. And so I look at this, and I was like, this is a dream scenario. But you've got to convince him to come. And will he come to work with Ryan Poles? That's the question. And is Ryan Poles going to keep his job? I know Kevin Warren's like, oh, he's Ryan Poles is our guy. We feel confident in him, and he can do the job, and he works hard. And he's a hardworking, smart young man. And things have gotten worse since those words were spoken, and they have to be reconsidered. Every week when a loss happens, and you watch this get worse and worse, and especially when it's not like if you make the decision for a consensus thing that everybody's saying, like, oh, you know, do this, and if it doesn't work, everyone was like, that sucks that it didn't work out, but it was the right call at the time. That happens. But you look at when you fired Matt Eberflus. Okay, that was the right decision. It was just way too late. But I think most of us were screaming, like, don't make Thomas Brown the interim head coach. Why? We were seeing some good things and some success with him being up in the booth, calling plays from up in the booth. And it's different when you go down to the sidelines. It's just a different situation. So what do? Make him the interim head coach. So now he's in a 17-day span. He goes from passing game coordinator to offensive coordinator to interim head coach. And now he has to move down from the booth to the field, and he's calling from there. And it has not nearly been as successful. You're seeing a difference, and you're seeing the defense get worse. You're still seeing just absolute terrible struggles with the offense. So you just screwed the pooch. It was another bad decision by Ryan Poles. Just another bad one. Everybody else said, don't do it. Ryan Poles like, I'm going to do it. And then sure enough, now as Bears fans, we're suffering the repercussions of bad Ryan Poles decisions. I am firmly in the camp. Ryan Poles needs to be fired. Just period. Ryan Poles needs to be fired flat out and bring somebody else in. And this decision and the coaching staff, if there's, in my mind, there's just the one option. It is Ben Johnson. Anything else is going to be frustrating, and there's varying degrees of frustration. If you hire Riverboat Ron Rivera, I may not watch another Bears game ever again. If you hire Mike Vrabel, I will wait and see who he chooses offensive coordinator. But honestly, it's there. You know, some of those younger play callers like Liam Cohen, Cliff Kingsbury, like, sure, they're doing well, but I think we haven't seen enough of them successfully to be able to translate that to a head coaching gig. Ben Johnson is coming from a very stable system where he worked his way up. The system that he's running, he's been running it for years now, is the Ben Johnson system, is not somebody else's system that he's using or manipulating. It is his system. He's been under a very aggressive, very strong, very stable head coach in Dan Campbell. And so he's learned from that, and he's under that tutelage. He's been there for a couple of years. He's gone through a couple of cycles where he could have gotten a job if he wanted. He chose not to. He chose to go back to Detroit. So it is a much different situation than any old, you know, offensive coordinator. That's the hot coordinator. This is a guy that's built an offense and built it from the whole thing, and it's his offense. So I mean, that's where I stand with this. It's just, you've got to do everything you can to put Caleb in a good spot and get him to and win with him. And the fastest way that's going to happen is Ryan Poles out and the right coaching staff brought in and the right GM. You bring in the assistant general manager of the Lions with the Lions offensive coordinator, and that's a marriage that will absolutely, I think, work. Now back to the game. We have Caleb Williams just, you know, after a poor start, you start to see him start cooking, and you're watching some just absolutely incredible throws. And, you know, there's things, though, that operate in this offense that are frustrating, is with how much pressure there is and how how much he scrambles and tries to do things with a broken play. I just don't feel like the broken play drill is run enough with this Bears offense. Is he constantly, whenever he's running for his life, after the play is over, he's yelling at one of the receivers about wanting them to do something. So they're not on the same page. And you need these receivers to do something to help Caleb out, whether that be the nearest receiver come charging in and trying to get separation there for, you know, a dump off, and somebody else going deep and trying to have broken coverage. And, you know, there's got to be something that your receivers do they see what the play is happening is. All right, well, this is a broken play. Now I'm breaking off my route and I'm doing this or that, and Caleb will know that I'm supposed to be doing that. And practicing that gets you on the same page, and hopefully you turn some of those sacks or throwaways into big completions. Like that's the goal, and it's just not what's happening. Caleb had another game with no interceptions. I mean, he's at, God, what's the number here? I have it here. It is, um, 326 attempts now without an interception, which is over 100 attempts longer than the next best rookie at that. So he's not throwing interceptions. And I believe the record is 405 with Aaron Rodgers. So you're at 326 right now. Like, by the end of the season, if you don't throw an interception for the rest of the season, you very well could break that mark. And, you know, it's good and bad. Sure, you don't want your quarterback throwing interceptions, but it's a rookie quarterback that's a big play quarterback. You want them to figure out what is and what isn't open in the NFL. And it's really hard. The windows are really small in the NFL. You look at college and open guys are open. They are open. And in the NFL, it's the window is a lot smaller of what is and isn't open. And it could be just a fleeting second that you're open and then suddenly you're not. And you've got to hit that. And that's where Caleb has had a little bit of struggle is, you know, they'll be like, oh, that guy's open and he's got to throw it at a specific time to make it work. And he's late to it. And I don't know if it's, you know, not wanting to turn the ball over and wanting to see if the guy gets open more or what it is, but he's had issues in that. And there was another instance today of that. And that's what having an offensive minded head coach will bring into this and help him solve those and work with him on the film. And I would have loved to him throw more interceptions this year to learn as a learning process, because, you know, the bad interceptions, no, you don't want to see, but if it's testing, like, is that open? Like, yeah, that's how you learn, is you get picked off. You know, it's a hard lesson. It's a tough lesson. But, you know, if you see a guy and you're trying to hit this window and it gets picked off, then when you go back and you look at the film, you're like, okay, now I put that in the data bank here, in the old memory, and that's not an open guy. That's not open. And then as you grow, you start putting those all in your mental database of, hey, this is open, this is not open. So once you are 2 years, 3 years in, suddenly now you're like, okay, I feel really confident in what's open and what's not. So I'm reading the defenses. I know the timing with my route runners, and I know my offense inside and out. And now I know what's open and not open. And that's how you get good quarterbacks. And if you're not throwing interceptions, that means you're not being aggressive enough to fully figure out open versus not open. And, you know, so that's been the frustration, but it is nice that he's not turning the ball over. You know, if he can figure out those, what's open and what's not without throwing interceptions, I think that would be ideal. I just don't know if both things are happening at the same time. So offensively, after a couple of just really bad, you know, opening drives, and, you know, you had another game where you're not scoring in the first quarter and you're just absolutely outgunned and playing from behind historically this season, right off the jump. And that's a tough pill to swallow. And, you know, this offensive coordinator / interim head coach / passing game coordinator, when you start off these games without any sort of rhythm, what is he doing to establish rhythm? That's the part that I don't understand. Is everybody has screamed, get your tight end involved. Why not some easy passes to Cole Kmet and establish the rhythm? Get the offense moving, move the chains, play the field position, even if you're not getting the ball on the other team's side of the field, is move the ball and play the field position game. And they're just not. When these drives stall, like, they're stalling. Three and out, or fumble, turnover on downs. It's they're not moving the chains. And then they're already behind the sticks as far as the field position game goes. So it's just really frustrating. And then you have at the end of the game where, yeah, you needed the points and you needed a touchdown, but it was fourth and long. And rather than attempt a 55-yard field goal, they punted. You need points. And yeah, I agree, don't go for the first down there, because that's a really low likelihood play of getting it on fourth down, like fourth and 17 or whatever it was. That is not a high probability play. I get that. So at least attempt the field goal. And Thomas Brown afterwards was like, well, we just felt that was outside of Cairo Santos' range. Well, if that's outside his range, then, you know, maybe you need to replace Cairo Santos. Is the way this league is going, is guys are kicking 60-yard field goals and they've got big, strong legs. And Cairo Santos doesn't have that big, booming leg. And maybe we need to go get one of those guys. You know, you wanted a big, booming leg kicker or a punter, and you went and got him in the draft. Is maybe you need to figure out the kicker situation and go with one of those. Is when you're not at your home stadium, not willing to go for a 55-yard field goal to cut the lead at half towards the end of the game, then yeah, that's bad news. You just punted that ball away. That was cowardice. That was just really a cowardly call by Thomas Brown, and it was a frustrating one, to be honest with you. I want to see aggression. Why on earth you're down big, you're on a 9-game losing streak, or the time 8 before the results came in, but you were on an 8-game losing streak about facing down your 9th straight loss, is be aggressive. What do you have to lose? What are you going to get fired as the interim head coach? No, you're going to coach the rest of the season. Like, you've got a contract anyway. Is make those calls. Be aggressive. Try to do something. Jumpstart this team. You're part of the problem. Like, it's just mind-boggling to me, the weakness and the inability and unwillingness to be aggressive. And, you know, you don't have to be Dan Campbell and be like, I'm never punting again. We're going every fourth down. Like, no, you don't have to do that. But Like I very clearly said they shouldn't have tried to get the first down on that because it was a really long fourth down. But a 55-yard field goal and the wind is not blowing that hard, is you should be able to not only hit that, but hit that pretty consistently. That is not that long of a field goal in the NFL in 2024. But I'm just really disgusted by the Chicago Bears and the organization as a whole and the way it's run. And it's just so frustrating. Is you look at the whole totality of everything and you're like, okay, we're no closer to a new stadium. We don't even know where it's going to be. At least a couple years ago, we bought the Arlington racetrack, and that's where the stadium's going to be. And although it's not my favorite location, it's at least the opportunity to have a state-of-the-art stadium and a big campus and a parking lot and a proper place for having tailgating, like all of those things. It's now you don't even know where that stadium's going to be. Your offense, you got your franchise quarterback. So what do? You don't put an offensive line in front of him and you give him a lame duck defensive coach and a piss poor offensive coordinator that got fired. Like, and no offensive line. Like it's everything about this. The defense is quitting. You know, you have mayhem in the locker room and it's just, what more are we supposed to endure as Bears fans? I just, it's so frustrating. And, you know, maybe I'm being super harsh on Ryan Poles, but every GM is going to do something good. It's hard not to when, you know, you're moving up the ranks and interviewing for these jobs and the presentation you're putting together and the plan you have. Like, there's going to be some successes along the way. There has to be. Nobody's going to work through that system and get that, you know, one of 32 job and just shit the bed from day one and never stop it. But you know, you've got to be more successful. You have to be. And this Bears organization has just been a disaster. And it's a tough pill to swallow. And we as Bears fans deserve better. We deserve more. And then the last thing is want to talk about is two games left. We got Seattle coming up this Thursday, and Seattle they're not a great team, but they're also not a pushover team. I still think they're in the playoff hunt, if I'm not mistaken. Let me look quick. NFL playoff standings. Playoff picture. Where are they here? Let's go. NFC in the hunt. The Seahawks are on the bubble. So they are on the bubble. It does not look like they're going to make it in. But they're on the bubble. And there's the opportunity for them to make it. They have not been eliminated yet. And so they're going to be playing hard. 17% chance of making the playoffs. And so the Bears could look to be playing spoiler, but the Seahawks are starting to get a little healthier. They're playing for, you know, they have to win. The Bears game is a must win for them. And so they're getting their healthy running backs. So they're going to have a 1-2 running back combo. And the Bears have just been unable to stop the run consistently this season. So I would be shocked if the Bears win this game. If they do, it's going to be on the back of Caleb Williams having a great game. It's nothing else. It's not the defense shutting them down. It's going to be the Bears offense scoring a lot of points. And they've got two games left, Seattle and the Packers. So you've got probably in reality, you've got one opportunity to stop this winning or losing streak, because I don't see any way that the Bears are beating the Packers. The Packers are on cruise control, and they're, and as good as they're playing, they're third place in this division, and they're trying to cement their place in the playoffs. So yeah, they're gonna try to come in and beat the shit out of you as the Bears. And I just don't see the Bears in with the quagmire they're in being able to beat the Packers. You know, they were really close and they should have beat them the first time, but you know, it's bad teams will find a way to lose, and that's what the Bears do. So I'm fully expecting this to be an 11 straight losing games lost by the end of the season. But you know, I think Seattle's really the only hope at getting a victory. And I guess the last thing I want to say is, you know, we'll Alex and I probably debate this a little more, but I want you guys to think about what it is that we said at the beginning of the season we would say numbers-wise would be a successful year for Caleb Williams. And then look what the numbers are now and ask yourself, has he hit those numbers? And if so, do we need to take it a little more easy on him? Because a lot of Chicago fans are just beating this poor kid up. But like I said, this was going to be a short episode. No Alex here. And, you know, it's been a hectic week for me, so I have not caught up with other things. And I just, the Bears took a lot of energy out of me today. So that's going to do it for this episode of Bill Swirsky Sports Talk Chicago. I want to thank everybody so much for listening. Please hit subscribe however you listen to podcasts, whether it's iTunes, Stitcher, YouTube, Google Play, Spotify, etc. Share this podcast with your friends. That's how we grow the show. Follow us on social media at Swirsky Sports, facebook.com/SwirskySports, SwirskySports.com, or ShyFanPat2 for Alex on Twitter/X, or AlexanderJPatCreative.com for all the cool stuff that Alex does. And again, thank you guys all so much for listening. And until next time, bear down.
Cubs win! What a lucky break! The good Lord wants the Cubs to win!
We thank Ditka and God for all they have provided.
Cubs win! Cubs win! Cubs win!
Oh, I don't want her. You can have her. She's a Packer fan. She can't fit in my van.
And she looks like...
Remember, New Yorkers, smoking crack is not legal on the plains.
Bears, 31 to -7.
The Bears.
Oh, when the Bears go bearing down.